Okay, John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Okay, we've reached our 12th lesson in the series on the book of Daniel. And I was telling Jan just a while ago, it continually gets harder. Each week it has gotten more difficult, in my opinion, at least more difficult to try to impart and teach, I think. And I want to back up just a little bit because of last week being such crucial to understanding this prophecy that we find in these next three verses. Last week in our study of the book, we discovered the key principle in computing prophetic times. We talked about five or six different types of principles, things you need to keep in mind in computing prophetic time. But there's one key that is really important to know. And that principle is demonstrated in a discrepancy that is found in the Scripture. And I need to correct myself, an apparent discrepancy that's found in the Scripture. Because there's two basic rules in studying the Word of God. Number one rule, there are no discrepancies. And the second rule is when you find one, return to rule number one. What we saw last week was what appears to be a huge discrepancy in Scripture. The Apostle Paul tells us in Acts that there was 573 years from the time the nation left Egypt until Solomon began to build the temple was 573 years. Yet when you go and read in 1 Kings, and it's chapter 6, verse 1, when you go there and read, you'll find out that 1 Kings, and it's probably written by Jeremiah, by the way, in 1 Kings, it says that it's 490 years from the time that they left Egypt until Solomon began to build the temple after his third year of reign. Here we have one of the apparent discrepancies in Scripture, contradictions, if you will. There is 93 years of difference in those two things in Scripture. So it's important that we discover what's the answer. Well, the answer is found in the way that it's computed. One is chronological. This is a chronological time. This is, and we talked about ordinal and cardinal numbers. This is primarily an ordinal number. An ordinal number leaves room for other numbers. It'd be like me saying, well, it's the fifth. And you can thereby assume that there may be a sixth and there may be a seventh. But when I say the five, that's a cardinal number. One happens to be, we described this as being what is called Anno Mundi. The year of the world. This number is Anno Dei, which is the year of God. This is, God has counted these years different for some reason. And I'm going back here to pick up on this for a couple of you that weren't here last week to understand why is this number 93 not considered in this 490 number that God seems to count different. Well, we found the answer is in the term Lo-Ami, which means not my people. And when the nation of Israel did evil, and we read about this in Judges, when the nation of Israel did evil, the Lord sold them into slavery. And we saw where they were 8 years in Mesopotamia. They were 18 years in Moab. They were 20 years in Canaan. They were 7 years in Midian. And they were 40 years in Philistine. When you add those up, you got 93 years, and that's the difference. When the nation of Israel was in servitude, in slavery, the Lord did not count those years in prophetic time. That is the main key to comprehending prophetic times. One's chronological, one is the Lord's time. And then we saw also last week that one of the key dates that we nailed down was the command to go forth to build the temple by Artaxerxes, who was the king of Persia. His commandment to go forth to build the temple is a key date. And from that date to last Sunday, Palm Sunday, the 11th of Nisan, when Christ rides in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, is 483 years chronologically. Now, with that principle in mind, we're finally ready, after all these weeks, to tackle three of the most epic verses in all of Scripture. And so open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. And actually, without that, you really cannot, without some of that information, you really can't comprehend what this prophecy is about, and yet it's one of the most important prophecies in all of Scripture. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, now it doesn't say king, Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and the overspreading of abomination. And he shall make it desolation, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. First thing, 70 weeks. How are we to understand the word week? Is it a literal week of days? And the answer is no. And there are several reasons why we know that. One is if you have a period of one, if you count them as days, you only have a period of 1 year and 4 months to build and restore Jerusalem and the temple. So we know right off the bat that that could not happen. In fact, Scripture tells us it didn't happen. It actually took 49 years for the complete process to take. It took 7 years just to build the temple. So right off the bat, we can see that we're not talking here about years or days. We're talking about years. So days of the week can't be right. When Daniel means literal weeks, he adds the word days And you see that in upcoming chapters where he says, I was mourning three full weeks of days. Or he says, mourning three full weeks of days. You don't see it so much in English, you see it in Hebrew. When it's translated into English, you don't get the concept that he's speaking days at one time and years another. Another reason that we know that it's not days, but it's years, when we get to week 70 in the 12th chapter of Revelation, it is spoken of in literal days, 1260 days. That is only part of that last week, the 70th week. Here, verse 27 addresses that 1 week, the last week. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week. That's the last week. And then in the middle of the week, or 3.5 years, the covenant is broken by Antichrist. And that's what we begin to read in the book of Revelation. That's where we begin to see the last week and how that last week is a covenant's made. By the way, the Lord never made a covenant for 3.5 weeks, 3.5 years. His covenants were long-lasting covenants. And we read here in Daniel, for example, even about that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Let me just read that. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. We're talking about Antichrist. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand unto a time and times and the dividing of times. That's the last week that's being referred to, where the middle of that week the covenant is broken by Antichrist. In Revelation, the 11th chapter of Revelation in verse 2, that last week is even referred to in months. 42 months is half of that last week. So we know, and it's well accepted, by the way, that we are dealing here with weeks of years. So the total 70 weeks is 490 years. And you're saying, that's already gone. No. Remember our principle? Lo ami, not my people. Some of them have been counted, and some of them have not. Now, the angel helps us with this. The angel, when he gives us this information to Daniel, he breaks it down. He breaks it into three basic parts. The first, he says 70 weeks are determined. That's the first thing out of his mouth that he says to Daniel. 70 weeks are determined. So we know that's 490 years that we're dealing with. And we find then the word determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Determined means to cut off, indicating that God has set apart this period of time, this 490 years, to accomplish his purpose for the people in the city of Jerusalem. He says, to finish the transgression. Finish means to restrain or shut up the transgression. What transgression? Well, we read about it. Turn back to chapter 8. There in chapter 8, beginning with verse 11, speaking about Antichrist. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. Who was the prince of host? That was Christ. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary, that's the prince of peace, was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? This is the transgression that they're talking clear back in the last week that you read about in Revelation. In verse 23, we find some of the same. Verse 23, and in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That's the Antichrist in the last week of these 70 weeks. The day is fixed. As the day was fixed when Christ would ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, last Sunday, the 11th of Nisan, it wasn't to the week, it wasn't to the month, it wasn't to the year, it was to the exact day when Artaxerxes gave the command to Nehemiah to go build the walls of the city. This day is set exactly just like the 11th of Nisan, when there will become an end to the transgression that we find today in the world. He says there in that same verse, to make an end of sins. How do you make an end of sins? Man's sinful. Well, you know what? You can't really comprehend that unless you understand what sin is. You cannot find me any place in Scripture where it says positively what sin is. You can't. It's not there. What is there? It always comes from a backdoor approach. It's always a negative approach. It only says in three places what sin actually is in Scriptures. One, not anything of faith is sin. Two, transgression of the law is sin. And three, all unrighteousness is sin. What we typically think of sin are really works of the flesh. It's these things, not of faith, transgression of the law, anything that's not of righteousness, that technically is sin. So, how does he make an end of that? Don't forget, he's speaking about the nation of Israel. And finally, they come into belief as a nation. Not individually. Individually, yes. But as a nation, whatever that is, however many that is, I don't know. Is that the remnant that's spoken of? Is that a very small group that's under absolute pressure and duress in the nation of Israel, in the promised land, in Jerusalem? I don't know. But whatever it is, the end of sin with regard to their unbelief stops to make an end of sins for the nation. They will accept him. Here we read, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. What is that? Well, that's atonement. Here, in these 70 weeks is included the cross, the staros, his death, his resurrection, atonement to make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 7, it tells us that Jerusalem will be called the city of righteousness. Isaiah also tells us that a king shall reign in righteousness. Isaiah tells us he will not rest or hold his peace until righteousness goes forth as brightness from Jerusalem. So we're looking at a glorious time down the road. It didn't happen after 62 weeks and 7 weeks. It didn't happen, but it will happen in the 70th week. To seal up the vision and prophecy. What does that mean, to seal up the vision and prophecy? You know what? I don't know. I'll take a guess at it. I think probably what it means that it will be seen how true and how accurate prophecy has been for 6,000 years. Things that will eventually the world will see, not only is it accurate to the 11th of Niacin on Palm Sunday when the prince rides into Jerusalem on a colt, you know, prophesied 483 chronological years before. Not only will they see that, but they'll see all of the prophecy that exists through 6,000 years. How accurate it is to seal up the vision and prophecy. And finally, and to anoint the most holy. To anoint the most holy. That's never used of a person, by the way, in Scripture. Only of things dedicated to God. Here, it's the temple being cleansed, spoken of in the chapter before, in chapter 8, in verse 14, and he said unto me, into 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. The temple's going to be rebuilt. And we've talked about this already, and I just saw some more information on this just a couple days ago on the History Channel. The nation of Israel has all of the materials necessary to build the temple. Some of it is stored in southern Indiana, as a matter of fact. They have all the blueprints, all the materials, everything ready to go to build a new temple. What do they lack? Two things in their minds. One, the mount. They can't build it, because that's where the most sacred, or one of the two most sacred places of Islam is. And what's the other thing? Well, they don't have the Ark of the Covenant. I personally don't think it exists. I think it was carried off to Babylon and cut down and melted up with all the other treasures of the temple. So, you know what's going to happen. Somehow, somewhere, I don't know, that Temple Mount's going to be destroyed. I don't know if it's going to be war sooner or later, but somehow they're going to gain possession of that Temple Mount again, and they're going to put a temple up in that place. Well, anyway, these terms here in this first section cover the restoration that is to take place as a whole over these 490-year periods of time. The second part is stated in 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Verse 25. Let's look at that again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. But we know the wall was built in troublesome times. The commandment went forth. Nehemiah went down there, took 4,000 men, took 52 days and built the city walls. Just like that. He went back 2 more times. He went back the next time and he started to build the city. And went back the next time and they put the foundations in and they built the temple. It took 49 years. Why did the angel break this down, these 70 weeks? Why did the angel break it down? 7, 62, and 1. Why not? Why did he not take the 490 years and break it down 49, 483, and 1, or 7? Well, it's because, as we learned in our last lesson, there's a difference between ordinal and cardinal numbers. And here, the angel's talking about God's time of breaking this down. He's talking about weeks. And there's a reason for giving us this particular breakdown. It's not chronological. And so what I've had to do, and I'm not a very good artist, I know, but I've made up another chart for you all to look at. I guess a picture is worth 1,000 words. So here we go. I've tried to chart this out. Now, I hope it doesn't appear to be Greek or something to you. So we're going to go through this together. And there's two ways to look at this. And I've given you both ways. And I'll tell you which one I think is, in my opinion, more accurate. The first way is the traditional way. This is what you've probably heard, no matter where you've gone to church. If you've gone to the Methodist or the Baptist or wherever, you've heard about the tribulation time at the end, and that's the last week. And both ways that we're going to look at here, there's still that same last week, there's still the same 170 weeks, there's still 490 years involved. But let's look at the first bar across the top, the traditional way to look at this prophecy given to Daniel by the angel. If you notice there on the left, you see the date in the middle of the page, 454 B.C., Nehemiah goes down. He's got permission from Artaxerxes to go build the temple, or to build the city, actually. It included the walls and included the temple, 444 B.C. And there's an arrow pointing up to 7 times 7 equals 49 years. That's the first way that the angel broke it down. Then he said 62 sevens, which chronologically is 483 years then, from the time that commandment went forth by Artaxerxes until Messiah the Prince, not the king, he wasn't crowned, the Prince, 483 years, chronologically, Messiah rides in on 11th of Nisan to the very day, 483 years later. The Acts period is not counted. There's 35 years in the Acts period. Now we're in 2,000 years of a time that is actually Lo Ami, the nation of Israel, is not God's chosen race or people at the current time. They, and you certainly got to understand, they've certainly suffered in this amount of time. And then at the end of that chart is the tribulation period, or 1 week of 7 years. So the total there is 490 years, except for when the nation is set aside. That's more the traditional way to look at these 490 years, how they play out. But there's a better way, and I'm calling it the Berean way. You know what the Bereans were? The scripture tells us that the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if they were true. They were good Bible students. You need to look at it this way. You determine, based on what we've studied here the last couple of weeks, you determine which way you think might be right. You start the second bar. The first 7 weeks, or 49 years, the nation was actually Lo-Ami. They were not his people. Until the temple was built and dedicated, they were still up there in Babylon and Persia and everywhere else. They did not have the city. And they didn't go there until the walls were built and the city was built and the temple was built and it was dedicated. And so if you're using the Lo-Ami principle, you don't start counting time until 405 BC. And that's why the angel broke it down like he did. The angel knew. So from the dedication until Palm Sunday, it's not 483 years chronologically what I've got written there, but above it I've got 434 years anno dino, which is God's time, and it's an ordinal number. Now notice the difference between this bar and the one above. We now are going to count the Acts period. We're going to count 5 weeks, which is 35 years. Why? Because the kingdom was being offered to them, and they weren't set aside until the end of Acts. Just read the last chapter of the book of Acts, the last 3 or 4 verses. That's where they went back into Lo-Ami, or not my people, again. And then we have the 2,000-year period of time, same as above. But what that does, that leaves, instead of 1 week, it leaves 3 weeks left to run of the prophecy. When the nation, the remnant, comes into belief as a group, as a nation, they will rebuild the temple and dedicate it. Now, if you notice there, I've got the clock starts at 2064 AD. No one really knows. But there is evidence in Scripture that it may be around that time frame. And unfortunately, we don't really know exactly what year it is. Man has messed up the most wonderful time clock ever put together in the heavens. He's screwed that up just like everything else. We don't know for sure what exactly year it is. We know close, but we don't know exact. No one really knows when this prophetic time clock will start again. However, as I have taught, prophecy not only reveals, but it veils. And as you get closer to the time frame, when these last 3 weeks kick in, if you're a young person, you may live to see some of this. You may say, oh, wow, lucky. Because we can look back. We have a better understanding than Daniel had. Sure, Daniel was given it by the angel direct, but he didn't live to see it. we've lived far enough to look back and say, gosh, you know, Christ did come. The Prince did come. He did ride into Jerusalem on the 11th and the 9th. If that's true, then the second coming would be somewhere around 2085. Is the Lord coming back tomorrow? I'll bet you everything I own that he's not. As though it would make any difference if I lost. Why? Because this prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. I hope you can grasp this. Not that you will agree, well, Redman is right. He thinks that the traditional way is not right and this other way is right. That's not important. That's just for your understanding, and to me, it's fun to look at. But whether you, no matter which way you go, how you divide this, you still come up with 1 week at the end to be fulfilled, and maybe 3 weeks. That last week is going to be a doozy. There'll be a mock kingdom, a travesty of Satan, a fake, a false Christ, an antichrist. And this is what you read about in Revelation. That's why it's so important to understand these minor prophets. And to understand these prophecies. If you don't, the best commentaries on Revelation is what we're studying here in the Old Testament. All the minor prophets. But there becomes a kingdom without Christ. Peace and security, finally. Extraordinary prosperity. Luxury. You can read about it in Revelation, the 18th chapter. War will temporarily have been ceased. After 6,000 years of blood and misery, Satan will have apparently attained his goal. What is that? To be worshipped. Swords beaten into plowshares, we read about. Not by conversion of all mankind by grace, but by the paralysis of nations by fear. Revelation 13, who can make war against this beast? The nations will have concluded by either intimidation or deception that war will have ceased on earth forever. That's not true. We read about the sacrifice and the oblation in verse 27. And he, this Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, there's going to be something take place. And there's going to be an image, an idol of abomination set up in the holy place where they will no longer have the sacrifice that is supposed to take place there in the temple. He, Antichrist, shall cause it to cease. And in its place will stand that which make it desolate. This image or idol is spoken of in many parts of the Old Testament and is considered wicked and blasphemous. But Revelation 13 confirms that it lasts no more than 3.5 years, as we see here in this 27th verse of Daniel. This is the reference to the future outpouring of the vials of wrath, ending with the consignment of the beast to the burning flame there in Revelation. With this, the prophecy of Daniel suddenly ends. Notice in verse 26, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people and the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a great flood. He had nothing. Christ had nothing. He had nothing on this earth. He had nothing of substance. He was merely the Son of God, incarnate in the flesh. But I'm thankful on this Easter Sunday that instead of a throne, he had a cross. Instead of a crown, he had thorns. Instead of a diadem, he had a tomb. Instead of death, a resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, and that you were victorious over death, and that as a result, we, in fact, have the promise of eternal life as well. We're grateful for the written word. We're thankful that it can give us understanding, open our eyes to know that this is, in fact, the infallible written word of God. I just pray for each one here that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For on this Easter Sunday, it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.